This second session is going to be, we're going to be looking at focusing on truth. This is huge. We have got to focus on what is true. So before we enter the storm, I wanted to speak to this because a lot of times we have it in our mind how the Lord's going to use this storm. We have in our mind how things are going to look, how this thing may play out. And it so often doesn't come anywhere close to what we think it might. Sometimes it does, but not often. So I want us to all be careful to avoid picturing what things are going to look like. Even when I started my ministry, I felt like the Lord said, I knew he had called me to do it, but then I felt like he said, don't try to imagine what the ministry is going to look like. Well, you know, you can't, when you're getting your 501c3, you can't tell the IRS, I have no idea what this is going to look like. I have no idea. So I did tell the Lord, you do have to help me with the questions I've got to answer. And he had already given me the mission. It was to just feed the body of Christ, strengthen the body of Christ through his word. That's the mission. So these little things along the way, but I still don't know what it looks like or what it's going to look like. And our storms are so often like that. We want everything tied in a bow. We want to know exactly what's going on. And we just need to embrace that it's rarely going to happen that way. And what it causes us to do, though, it's actually more adventurous because we really have to lean into the Lord. And we begin to just look to him and not worry so much about the circumstances or how things look. And do not worry about how it looks to other people. Do not. People are going to misunderstand you. They're not going to get where you're coming from. So don't worry about it. You and the Lord, trust him to be doing what he's going to do, and it's going to be best for you in the end, even if the package doesn't look like you thought you might want it to. So let's dive in. Now we're in Mark 6, so not too much further. And you can also read it from your workbook in session 2. So Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. He, of course, is Jesus. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. Isn't that something? He saw them working against this wind. He saw them painfully rowing and making headway. So his eye is always on us. He knows we can't do this alone. He's just waiting for us to realize it. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. Their Savior has come and they're terrified. And there are a lot of unknowns going on right now with the disciples. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." When they heard the voice of the shepherd, that's when things began to settle down. And that's what we're doing today in his word. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And these things from those last few lines, these are things that are from the previous passage. You can go back and read, but I'm just not going to dig into those today. We're going to stay on our point. So we see that once Christ was with them, then they anchored. So we want to be sure that we're not anchoring apart from him. Once he was with them, they anchored. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him. And this is the other thing. When I get to the other side of the storm, I do not want people going, "Look at you, Charlotte, getting to the other side of the storm. Good job there, Charlotte." That's not what we want. We have, if you're in Christ, you have died to Christ. It's him who now lives in you. Who got you to the other side of the storm? He did. That's who we want seen at the other side of our storm, where others are coming to him. It goes on to say, and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was, so that our testimonies and the way we live are such that people are saying, "I need help. I want to run to Jesus." Not, "I need help. I want to run to Charlotte. Although I'm here if you need something." We help each other and we need each other for sure. But let it always be done in Christ and to his glory. We are running to him So they brought sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was and wherever he came. In villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. That is our job as believers, is to say, keep pointing people to Jesus. He's the Savior. I'm not the Savior. He is. He is. He is. Keep pointing people to relationship with him. So these are our major points that we can fill in at the bottom of that page. We do not want to anchor apart from him. We do not want to anchor apart from him. And then secondly, Christ is the source of all truth and must be the object of our focus. Christ is the source of all truth and must be the object of our focus. Always run things through the Word of God. Like, is it true? Run it by the Word of God and see if it's true. When I'm listening to a pastor or a teacher, even one I love and trust, they're the first to say, make sure what I'm saying lines up with the Word of God. We want to be sure we do that. All right, so let's look at what's not batten down. Where are we dropping anchor? So we can fill this in. Sometimes we imagine we can function or understand in our own strength. I can do this. I can do this. I can figure this out. So sometimes we imagine we can function or understand in our own strength. And then we can fill this in. When we anchor in our own wisdom, we go adrift. When we anchor in our own wisdom, we go adrift. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. All they could see from their understanding was a ghost was walking across the water. That's what it looked like to them. That's what they decided it was, and they were terrified. So the Lord has always reminded me, you do not have all the puzzle pieces. Only he does. You know, sometimes we think, well, I just know what she meant by that. Well, she may not have meant anything like that. You know, we don't always know, and so we need to embrace that, that only he knows what's going on completely. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I am so thankful he inspired that to be written in all things. What if he said, and in the really big things, acknowledge me, but if it's little, please don't bother me with that. No, instead, he commands us, big, little, whatever it is, you better be acknowledging me in this. And I thank him for that because I need to acknowledge him in everything. And he will make straight your paths. So we want to be looking to him as the lighthouse. We want to be walking with him. And we can fill this in. They saw Jesus and were troubled. You'd think the next line would be, they saw Jesus and everything just fell into place. But it says they saw Jesus and they were troubled. That word trouble in the Greek, it means to agitate. It means to trouble a thing by the movement of its parts to and fro to cause one inward commotion, take away his calmness of mind. That's what Satan's trying to do in the storm. He's trying to agitate your mind. That's why this little section is to be focused on truth. It takes the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to apply his self-discipline that he's given us, and you take your thoughts captive to truth. We have got to do that. Yeah, a lot of times that's just my problem. It'll all boil down to me letting my mind go where it ought not go. So we don't want our minds to be like a washing machine, because you know if you get caught in that cycle, it's hard to get out. But the Lord alone can pull us out. And I thought of some examples. Like we're talking about that sometimes circumstances look like Jesus doesn't care. So the enemy comes in, Jesus doesn't care. Jesus doesn't care. You know, that's what he's trying to put in your mind. And if we listen to the enemy, we start going, Jesus doesn't care. Wait, Jesus does care. Does he care? Maybe he doesn't care. Does it? He cares. He doesn't care. And now we're in that washing machine, just, you know, we're not really going to be good for a whole lot of anything during that. So we need the Lord to calm that storm. When that starts happening, cry out to him. Say, Lord, calm my mind. It is so agitated. Calm my mind. Get me in truth. Have things ready to go. Okay, another thing, you know, here comes the Lord walking on the water. They think it's a ghost and they're terrified. So I thought of this. Sometimes what happens to me, I'm like, okay, this is going on. Is this the Lord or is it not the Lord? This is the Lord. Maybe it's not the Lord. Is it the Lord? Maybe it's not the Lord. And now I'm agitated. Now my mind is all over the place. One thing he's taught me to do with that is sometimes I'm like, is this the Lord allowing it to close a door? Or is this Satan blocking it to keep me from going the direction I should go? Well, we don't know. God knows we don't know. So here's what I do with that. He's taught me, don't worry about what's what. You just keep looking to me. You keep walking with me. You keep trusting me. It's beyond our pay grade to know what's what. And he can sure show us if we need to know. So the other thing that I got from this picture of here appears Jesus and they're terrified, I think there are things he's doing in our lives that are flipping us out at first. I do not mean sin, danger. I do not mean that. I mean circumstances in our lives that we're going, what in the world? What in the world? And yet, because we're walking with the Lord and we're trusting him, he is actually using that to get us where we need to go. Because they did land safely on the other side with him. So there are some things we just don't understand. So you just keep trusting him. Keep crying out to him. If it's sin, I can assure you it's not him. But if it's something you have no control of, you trust him to use it to get you right where you need to go. His every move is for you. You may want to jot that down as a stabilizer. His every move is for you. Not because it's about us. It's about him being seen as who he is and us belonging to him as the apple of his eye. So we know that our opinions can be wrong. One of my favorite verses that really takes me off the hook is Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. God does not expect me to wake up in the morning and know just what to do and where to go. He's saying, you have no idea. You don't even know. But I will show you. And so we walk with him and we take that next step and we just keep moving forward as he leads us and just trust that he's keeping us in the right way. So we can fill this in. Fear and doubt often arise in the unknown. I'm sure you did not need me to tell you that. Fear and doubt often arise in the unknown. So it is time for some counsel from the Lord. So let's hear him. In hard times and in the unknown, this is what he says. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. So we can fill that in. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. And some of your versions, what that take heart, the word means, it also means take courage. Be of good courage. It also means be of good cheer. Because this is what's wild. When I will focus on truth and remember, wait, his every move for me is what's best. And he's using all of this to conform me into the image of Christ, to do what's best for me, to glorify himself. Well, then I started getting a little bit of that excitement of what are you doing here? And so we can actually have cheer even in the hardest of times, knowing what he is about to do with it. This is what I feel like he says to me a lot. If you only knew. If you only knew. So that storm you're in right now and you're going, Lord, I cannot see how this could be used for good in any way whatsoever. He knows you can't, but he can. And he's saying to you right now, hear him loud and clear, if you only knew. If you only knew. That was not in my notes. I believe that was for him speaking to us right now. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we need to not flip out. I still, a storm hits and I act like it's just the wildest thing. But he's telling us, no, this is life right here with storms coming and going, but always at his command when we're walking with him. Always him allowing what's best for us at the time. So we may not know what's going on, but here's some more stabilizer that I didn't put on your worksheet. We may not know what's going on, but we can know the one who does. We may not know what's going on, but we can know who he is and what is true. So we're focused on who he is and what is true. So here's our stabilizers to be anchored in stability, anchored in the rock of our salvation. You can fill this in. We don't have to be anxious in hard times or the unknown because he is with us. He is with us. I cannot tell you lately, probably over a year ago, just walking along, doing my walk. You know, it's usually when I'm doing laundry, I feel like I might, you know, hear something go through my mind from him. But I mean, I just kept hearing, I am with you. I am with you. And I wasn't even thinking about that kind of stuff. And it doesn't, sometimes we freak out. We're like, why am I going to need to know this? Why is he telling me this so many times? But I have learned not to freak out. Because if he is telling me something ahead of time, even if it's not something I want to hear, in that case, it is something I want to hear, it is always for our best to keep us stable. So you remember that he is with you. And then the next one, fill this in. He knows what we need and has a good plan for anything that comes into your life. He knows what we need and has a good plan for anything that comes into your life. Here's the thing. God, Satan has a plan for your life, and he is trying to implement it. But let me tell you what, greater is he that's in you, Christ, than he that's in the world. And I tell you, I have thought it, maybe I think I chew over things maybe too much, but as I really, you know, thinking and analyzing how amazing it is that the great God, who is all powerful, is kind and gracious, loves to show mercy, loves to save. Because what if he were cruel? I mean, do you see what I'm saying? If the most powerful one was cruel, we'd be toast. Well, there is one who is powerful, and he is cruel, Satan. But let me tell you this, he is not the most powerful. He trembles at the most powerful one. And he knows he's toast. He wants you to think you're toast, and you are not. But I'll tell you this, you try to go up against Satan on your own, you're toast. He's powerful, but you go up, you stand in the armor of God, and you stay with the Lord, and you allow him to fight your battles. Now Satan is toast. So as we think about that, we want to be sure that we are obeying the Lord, focused on truth, so that his plan for the storm unfolds. And there are going to be times you are going to feel like not doing that. And we are going to have to learn in this age where everybody's about feelings and emotions, we are going to have to remember to get our feelings and emotions to march in line with truth. And y'all, I'm a sensitive soul. That's not always easy for me. You know, sometimes we feel pretty deeply, but it is not worth it to let my feelings take control. I want the Lord's truth to be what's leading me. So as we think about focusing on truth, let's just look at a couple of verses before we close out. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, Philippians 4:8. If that doesn't make you feel like a princess, I don't know what does. I mean, here is the Lord. I almost feel guilty about that. Like, Lord, shouldn't I occasionally have to think about the hard things? He's like, you can't handle it. You stop it. You focus on me. You think of something that's good and true and noble, which is always going to be things about him. And you keep your mind there, little pumpkin, because you cannot handle the other stuff. He alone can handle it. So keep your mind on what's lovely. And I know when we're in the middle of the worst storm. I mean, something that really, like ice water is running through our veins continually, because this is a bad storm. This is bad. You keep saying to him, God, I know you're going to bring good from this. I know you have this. I know you see me. I know you keep preaching to your own heart what is true. We're going to need to do that. Then we can fill this in. When we're in trouble, Jesus comes to our aid. And this is the line I have written here. He never misses the slightest bleating, like B-L-E-A-T-I-N-G, not bleeding, though he sure doesn't miss that either, but the slightest bleating from his sheep. You know, when a sheep says, baa, baa, you know, the shepherd is on it. It's been the coolest thing watching these kittens. These kittens, they'll just be making all kinds of noise. Suddenly, one of them will make a certain noise, and that mother cat is on it. And I thought, oh, that's so him. You know, when we are crying out to him, your heavenly Father, who is the great power, he is on it. So do not stop crying out to him. That's Satan's plan. Oh, just forget about it. He doesn't care anyway. All this is a bunch of bunk. Nobody believes it. Forget about it. That's what Satan is saying. Don't you listen to him. You keep crying out. There was a blind man. I think it's in Mark 10. He was crying out to Jesus. He heard Jesus was coming by, and he's crying out for Jesus. Do you know what the people around him said in their wisdom? Stop. Just stop it. Just stop it. Like, don't embarrass yourself. You know, just keep it down there. He would not stop crying out. And the Lord called for him and healed him. He said, what do you want from me? That's what the Lord said. What do you want from me? And he says, oh, Rabboni, oh, master, that I might see. So we want to know that Jesus hears us. And don't you let the world silence you. You keep crying out to him. He wants to hear from you. And this is so cool. Psalm 50:15 is another go-to verse for me, if you want to star this one. It says, the whole psalm is amazing, but this verse says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Do you see? It doesn't stop. It's not all about us. If you will cry out to me when I deliver you, and I will, it will show my glory. It will show others who I am. So when you're crying out to him, it's not about you really. It's really about him having an opportunity to be seen. So keep crying out to the Lord. He loves to deliver. Aren't you glad that the most powerful one loves to deliver? So don't worry about what things look like or how we want them to look. Just focus on what is true and don't let your mind wander. That's a huge word for me. Don't let your mind wander. And then this is just so cool. And I know if you've ever read the scriptures, you may have read this one. But in 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17, this is what was going on with Elisha, a prophet of God, and his servant. Starting in verse 15, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, what did he see? You know, happy little birds in the trees and a good day getting started. This is what he saw. An army with horses and chariots was all around the city. You know, I've had thoughts. We kind of live in a bubble sometimes in our country. Can you imagine if we had to fear that ISIS, we might wake up and look out the window and ISIS has surrounded us or something like that? You realize some villages have lived in that terror where they look out and they're surrounded by an army much bigger than them. This happens in real life, and it was happening to Elisha. So let's see how he handled it. And an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Well, the servant might have looked at him like, oh, dear, he's finally lost it. Like, you know, here we two are standing here. Yeah, Elisha, that's what it looks like. So listen to what happens. Verse 17, then Elisha prayed and said, oh, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. And I'm telling you, we may never see an angel or the spirit realm, probably because we couldn't handle it if we did. But the Lord can give us eyes to see. I always ask for spiritual eyes to see. What I mean by that is not necessarily seeing into the spirit realm, but seeing what's true. And so listen in verse 19. I love how the Lord will do this kind of thing. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So Elisha. So is that not exciting? Elisha knew it. Elisha didn't have to see it to know that, or even that just kind of under the skin needling that's going on in your life right now. Whatever you're dealing with, the Lord is greater. The Lord is greater. He wants you to know that. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18 reminds us of this. For this light momentary affliction may not feel light, may not feel momentary, but compared to what the Lord is going to do with it, forget about it. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So the Lord is just saying, if you only knew, you wouldn't be looking for temporary treasure. Oh, you'd be grasping for eternal treasure. So the Lord is doing that for us. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Because as we're learning, things don't always look like they really are. For the things that are seen are transient, or they can change. They're temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. So we want to keep our eyes on those unseen things of the Lord and his kingdom. And then this truth is 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's what we need to keep saying to each other. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And when you find me upside down and I can't get myself up spiritually, please say that to me. Remind me, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We need this truth. So now we're going to go into our alone time. And we are actually going to go until noon. And then we will go from noon to 12:15 in our discussion table like we did. And then Meg will come up and lead us into our lunchtime. So let's break off. You know what to do now. Let's make sure we're on the same page. Are you on hearing from the Lord session 2? Awesome. And is your first verse Isaiah 41:10? Perfect. Okay, go hear from him. Spend some alone time with him and be back in 15 minutes at 12 for our discussion time. Okay, I just want to say, well done. Talk about, I mean, it's quiet. It's actually quiet during quiet time. This is awesome. When I was walking up here, I realized I didn't flip to the next slide here, but that's a current picture of the Sea of Galilee at sunrise, and that's where these storms that we just read about were taking place. So it's kind of a sweet picture of what the Lord has planned if we only knew through our storms. So let's go into our discussion for 15 minutes, and then Meg will come up and finish it out and lead us into lunch. So let's go ahead and do our discussion time at our tables.